In the morning, Taita came to wake Nefer. He found him asleep with one arm thrown over his face. At Taita's touch, he sat up, stretched, and yawned. The thick braid of his hair, which Mintaka had plaited, hung down his back. As he looked at Taita, his eyes focused and hardened as he remembered what the day would bring forth. While Nefer drank a bowl of sour milk and ate a handful of figs, Taita went to the window and looked out over the rooftops to the grove of young palm trees they'd planted above the wells. He saw the topmost fronds sway and nod to the breeze. They'd all prayed for a still day, but this breeze carried with it the threat of failure. Now Nefer would have to rely more than ever on the great war bow to counter it. Taita said nothing to Nefer of his misgivings. Instead, he turned and cast his eyes down the avenue. The sun had not yet risen, but it seemed that half the populace of Galala was streaming out to the city gates. They're anxious to secure vantage points along the course, and to watch as much of the run as possible, he told Nefer. No one except the participants and the judges are allowed to ride. All the others must follow the chase on foot. Some argue that it might be possible to watch the javelin and the wrestling, then cut across the hills to look down on the sword play from close at hand. Those who are less fleet of foot will climb to the summit of Mount Eagle and watch the crossing of the chasm below them, then run back here to see the finish. Despite the great exodus from the city, many hundreds of others had chosen to watch the start and crowded into the forum. Others had climbed high above the square and were perched on the walls and balconies. Even so early in the day, the air was festive and the mood feverishly excited. Some of those on the walls had brought their breakfast and chewed bones and scraps shard onto those below. Others shouted their wages to Artla and his scribes. Artla was offering even money that Nefer and Meron would cross the chasm, 2-1 against them passing the swordsman, and 4-1 against them finishing the course without being overtaken by the pursuit. As the sun rose above the walls, the 10 chariots of the pursuers filed into the forum. The gongs beat, the drums rolled, and the sistrum rattled. Women squealed and threw flowers, and children danced round them, but the charioteers were grim and intent as they lined up along the starting barrier. There was an interval now of tense expectation, and then the sound of cheering from the cavalry lines, swelling and becoming closer, then to an explosion of Bacher! The stripped-down chariot of the novices entered between the eroded columns at the entrance to the forum. Dov and Krus had been groomed until their coats shone like burnished metal in the early sunlight. Their manes were plaited, coloured ribbons twisted into the strands. Their tails were clubbed. Nefer and Meron wore only light leather armour, and their bodies were oiled for the wrestling. They stepped down from the footplate of the chariot and went down on their knees, and their hands rested on the hilts of their swords. Taita came forward and stood over them. He recited a prayer to Horus and the Red God, asking for their blessing and protection. Finally, he took an amulet from around his own neck and placed it over Nefer's bowed head. Nefer looked down at the object as it dangled on his chest, and felt a tingle of shock, almost as though a strange current of power flowed from it. It was the golden periapt of Lostris, the locket of his grandmother, which nobody but Taita had ever touched. Then Hilto, wearing the red cape of the third degree of the order, mounted to the stone platform in the centre of the forum. He read aloud the rules. When he finished, he asked in a stern voice, "Do you understand and undertake to abide by the rules of the Order of the Red Road?" "In the name of the Red God," Nefer affirmed. "Who will cut the hair braids?" Hilto asked. and Mintaka and Merikara stepped up behind the kneeling warriors. Mintaka's eyes were heavily underscored with purple, for she'd not slept the previous night. They were both pale and tense with anxiety. Nefer and Merin bowed their heads, and lovingly the women lifted the braids and sheared them away. They handed them to Hilto, who attached them to the tips of the tall pennant rods on each side of the footplate of their chariot. These were the trophies that the pursuers must attempt to snatch, and which Nefer and Merin must defend with their lives. "Mount your chariot," Hilto ordered, and Nefer and Merin climbed to the footplate. Nefer gathered up the reins. Dov and Krus arched their necks, stamped, and backed up a single turn of the wheels. "Bring on the birds," Hilto ordered. The handlers climbed into the circular, sanded cockpit, each with a fighting cock under his arm. The wattles of both birds had been cut away so that their heads were sleek, almost reptilian, with no dangling flesh or skin to give the enemy bird purchase. The sunlight gleamed on their plumage, with the iridescence of oil spilled on water. A tense, aching silence fell over the crowded forum. The handlers knelt, facing each other in the centre of the sanded pit, and held their birds in front of them. The birds did not have artificial spurs strapped to their feet. The long metal spikes would make a kill too swift and certain. But their natural spurs had been sharpened and polished. "Bait your birds," Hilto called, and the handlers thrust them at each other without allowing them to touch. The eyes of the two roosters gleamed with malice, their heads began to swell with rage, and the naked skin of their heads and throats turned an angry crimson. They beat their wings and tried to break from the handlers' grip to fly at each other. With his drawn sword, Hilto pointed across the forum at the ruined roof of the Temple of Bez, the patron god of Galala, where a blue flag flapped idly in the hot breeze. "The novices will start when the birds are released. The flag will be lowered when one of the birds is killed, and only then will the chase begin. The red god, in his infinite wisdom, will determine how long the birds will survive, and how long the lead time will be. Now, hold yourselves in readiness." Every eye, even those of Nefer and Merin, turned to the challenging cockbirds. Hilto lifted his sword. The birds' hackles were raised. They were crimson with rage, fighting to be at each other. "Now," cried Hilto, and the handlers set them free. They flew across the sand in a flutter of bright wings, leaping high, thrusting with claws and spurs. "Hark, Dov! Hark, Krus!" Nefer called, and they sprang away, throwing gravel and dust from under their hooves. A mighty shout went up from the crowd, and the chariot raced once round the forum, then out into the open avenue. Behind them the cheering faded as they tore through the gates and turned onto the track that led into the hills, its length marked every 200 paces with white linen flags, which shook and flapped lazily in the early breeze that came in off the desert. "Keep the flags to the right," Merin reminded Nefer. If they missed a flag on the wrong side, the judges would send them back to round it fairly. While he drove, saving the horses, bringing them down to a trot as the slope rose steeply under them, Nefer assessed that breeze by flag and dust, judging its strength and direction. It was coming harsh and hot from the west, strong enough to blow the dust cloud aside behind them. This was the worst possible wind. It would drain the horses and confuse the range when they came to the trial of javelin and bow. He thrust the thought aside to concentrate first on the ascent of the hills. The gradient tilted sharply upwards, and at a word of command from Nefer, they sprang down from the footplate and ran beside the horses to lighten the burden. Dov and Krus surged ahead so strongly that they had to keep a grip on the harness to keep pace with them. As they reached the crest, Nefer halted them and let them rest for a measured 300 beats of his own heart. He looked back at the city walls below and heard the regular roar swelling and subsiding like the sound of distant surf on a coral reef. the characteristic sound of the cockfight as the crowd hailed each attack of the birds. But the flag still flew on the crumbling top of the Temple of Bes to signal that the fight had not yet been decided. He turned away and looked down the length of the level plain that stretched ahead, and picked out the line of javelin butts, five of them spaced at intervals of 200 paces. There was a low fence of thorn brush running parallel to them that would keep the chariot at a range of 50 paces. Nefer jumped to the footplate and called, "Come away!" and the pair strode forwards. He glanced back, and the blue flag still flew on the Tower of Bes. As they raced in on the line of targets, Nefer wound the thong round his wrist and composed himself, seeing in his mind's eye the target, imagining the flight of the missile from his hand to the inner red circle, ignoring the yellow outer. He watched the wind moving the flags. He saw Shabako standing on a low knoll near the centre of the line. He would show a red flag for an inner and a yellow for a miss. They carried only 5 javelins, and they would be allowed only 1 yellow. If they failed on the first run, they must turn back, retrieve the thrown javelins, and run again until they scored the 4 reds. Nefer handed the reins to Merrin, who steered in close to the dividing fence to give Nefer the best shot. The first target came up fast, and Nefer braced himself on the bouncing, swerving footplate. "Nile!" He gave the command, and instantly Dov and Krus changed their gait into that wonderful gliding motion. The chariot steadied under them, and he rode the easy movement with his legs, and he threw. There was never a doubt from the moment the javelin left his hand, its velocity accelerated by the whip of the thong. He had allowed for the wind. It flew 50 paces, swinging across the wind into the heart of the red circle, and from the corner of his eye Nefer saw Shabako wave the red flag to acknowledge the strike. He snatched another javelin from the bin and wound the thong. He felt a supreme, almost godlike confidence. He knew that the next 4 darts would fly as true as the first. He watched the second target come up, and he threw again. It was another perfect throw. He did not even have to glance at the flag, and beside him Merrin shouted, "Buck here, brother!" and steered for the third. They were running in close, and the thorn fence flew by the off-wheel in a blur. Nefer lined up and whipped his right arm into the throw. And at exactly that moment the wheel touched the fence and the chariot swerved violently and hung for a moment on the verge of capsizing. The horses pulled it straight with their combined weight, but the javelin was already in flight. With despair in his heart, Nefer saw it fly wide, missing the target completely, and the yellow flag went up. "It was me," Merrin gritted. "I ran too fine." "Hold her true now," Nefer snapped at him. "We need 2 more reds. The 4th target came up, but Nefer felt the altered motion under him. Krus was leading with the wrong foot. The collision with the fence had unbalanced him. "Oh, Krus!" Merrin called and tried to steady him with a touch of the reins. Then Dov leant lightly against him, and he felt her rhythm and picked up the step from her just as the 4th target came up. Nefer threw, and beside him Merrin called, "Red, a clean hit! You've done it!" "Not yet," Nefer told him and snatched the 1st javelin from the bin. "One more to go." They came down fast on the 1st target, and the men were tense as drawn bow stocks, every muscle rigid and every nerve stretched tautly. Krus sensed it, felt it in the reins from Merrin's right hand. With his right eye he saw the target come up, knew precisely the instant at which Nefer would throw, and instinctively fell into his wicked old habit and broke step. The carriage lurched and swayed just as Nefer released. Even then it might have scored, were it not for the wind. A hot gust swept over them, strong enough to flog the heavy hair braids on the flagstaffs. The javelin was already slightly offline, but the wind aggravated the error. It drifted even further to the right and missed the red inner by the width of 2 fingers, and quivered in the outer ring. Shabako held raised the black flag high above his head and waved it from side to side so that folds of cloth volleyed and flogged loudly. The signal of failure. Their 1st run had been disqualified. They must retrieve the javelins and run the butts again. Grimly silent, Nefer snatched the reins back from Merrin and spun the chariot into a tight turn round the end of the thorn fence, and they started back. He pushed the horses to the top of their speed. There was no thought of husbanding their strength now. For all Nefer knew, one of the fighting cocks was already slain, and 10 chariots had begun the chase. They flew back along the line of targets, passing them so closely that Merrin was able to pluck the javelins from the packed straw bodies without having to bring the chariot to a complete stop. The fourth javelin, that had missed the target completely, lay in the open, but even from a distance Nefer saw that the impact with the rocky ground had snapped the shaft in two. They were left with only four missiles to score four red flags. A single miss would mean that they would have to make their stand there, a two against ten picked warriors. They would have to capitulate or fight to the death. With only four javelins in the bin, they reached the start of the line, and Nefer halted the chariot and jumped down to the ground. He ran to Krusi's head and stroked his forehead. "Run true now, my darling. Don't fail me again." From a great distance came the sound of a long, sustained cheering. This time it did not fade away. "One of the birds is dead," Merrin called. "The chase has begun." Nefer knew it was true. One of the cocks had succumbed, and the chasers were released to follow them. They had lost their starting advantage. The pursuing chariots did not have to run the test of the javelins. They would race past the butts without a check. Even if this time they managed a clean pass of the butts with four red flags, ahead of Nefer and Merrin waited the wrestlers.